Please turn with me now in your Bible to a couple of passages. First of all, in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 and 2. This will be background for our message this morning. Again, I'll be reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 9, beginning with verse 1. Let's hear God's word. But there will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the latter time he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shined. And then if you'd simply keep that place marked and turn with me to our primary passage in the Gospel of Matthew. Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 through 25. This morning, we want to consider how Jesus brings the light of the truth. Again, this will be our primary text this morning. I'll be reading from the book of Matthew, picking up where we left off last week. Chapter 4, verse 12. Again, let's hear God's word. Now, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali, so that what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah might be fulfilled. The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light. And for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon, who is called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. And he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Immediately they left their nets and followed him. And going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in the boat with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets. And he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Now, thus far, the reading of God's word. May the Lord add his blessing to it. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, you have told us the opening of your word brings light. And so now we ask that you would shine your light upon us. As we consider your word together, that you would open up to us understanding, encouragement, comfort, counsel, truth, help. Lord, bless us as we draw near, as we come to consider your word together. Enable us to understand it, to receive it by faith, to be changed by it. We ask, O Lord, that you would shine out your light on us, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You ever felt like you're in the dark? You don't know where things are going. You can't see what God is doing in your life. You don't seem like you have any direction, or you feel lost or confused. This morning, I want you to see that Jesus brings light into darkness. Okay, if you remember where we left off, Jesus spent most of his life in the small town of Nazareth in an out-of-the-way place known as Galilee. In the northeastern part of Israel, Jesus spent most of his life, certainly his formative years, small town of Nazareth, way off in an area called Galilee. Meanwhile, further to the south, down in the wilderness of Judea, John the Baptist was preaching a message of repentance. Remember, John said, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Okay? To repent is to turn away from sin, to turn away from sin and to turn to the Lord. And so John was saying, repent, turn, get ready, and get right with God. So here's Jesus up here in Galilee, further to the south out in the wilderness. John the Baptist is out preaching a message of repentance. and he's baptizing. Well, we saw last week that Jesus left Galilee. He came down south and he went out into the wilderness to be baptized by John. And then after he was baptized, he went further out in the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And that's where we pick up this morning, chapter 4, verse 12. It says, now when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee. Okay, so John the Baptist has been arrested. He's been locked up. Not long after he baptized Jesus, John the Baptist got arrested. Okay, Matthew doesn't tell us why. We have to go to other places in the Bible to understand why. Luke tells us that at this time, Herod the Tetrarch was king. Remember, Herod the Great was king when Jesus was born. And then after Herod died, his son Archelaus was on the throne. Now Herod the Tetrarch is on the throne. He's king over Judea. He represents the Roman Empire and their control over this area of Palestine. Herod the Tetrarch was a wicked man. And John the Baptist found himself locked up because John confronted Herod for some of the evil things that he had done. Luke tells us that Herod was known for publicly doing some very evil and wicked immoral acts, including marrying his sister-in-law. And John the Baptist was not afraid to confront Herod the king. Okay, you can't be afraid to speak the truth to the world. Herod was king. He had great power. He had great authority. But he was also wicked. He was fallen. He was broken. And he needed to be warned. And so John the Baptist spoke plainly to him. Remember, John's not the kind of guy who's afraid to speak up. John is known for this message of repentance. Get ready. Get right with God. And so John was not afraid to speak to the king. And John found himself locked up in prison. Okay? You can't be afraid to speak the truth to the world. Because that's what the world needs. The world is dark, and the world needs us to bring the light of truth. Okay? The world needs to be warned, needs to be instructed, needs to be helped, needs to be counseled, needs to be encouraged. So you can't be afraid to speak truth to the world. You need to be wise in how you do it. You need to be compassionate. You don't want to come across as self-righteous. You don't want to come across as judgmental. It's important sometimes that we listen, so that we really hear and understand where people are coming from. But in all that, we can't be afraid to be honest and speak truth. You know, you can be honest and you can say hard things without yelling. You can be honest without raising your voice and being offensive. But you have to be willing to speak truth. You can't be afraid to speak the truth. Well, John the Baptist spoke the truth to the king, and he ended up locked up in jail. Now we read that when Jesus heard about that, when Jesus heard that John had been arrested, Jesus withdrew into Galilee. So he had come down from Galilee, down to the wilderness. He's baptized, he's tempted. Then he hears John the Baptist has been arrested, and Jesus goes back. He withdraws. But it's not because Jesus is afraid. Okay? There are a number of reasons why Jesus withdraws. We're going to look at one of them this morning. But it's not because he's afraid. It's not because he's afraid of being arrested. You cannot be afraid of speaking the truth to the world. Well, it says, when he heard John had been arrested, he withdrew into Galilee, and leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum by the sea in the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. So Jesus goes back to this area where he grew up, but he doesn't stay in the same small town. He doesn't stay in Nazareth. Instead, he goes further off the beaten path. I mean, Nazareth was out of the way. Okay? But he goes even further, deeper into Galilee, to the other end of Galilee, even to Capernaum, which is along the Sea of Galilee, all the way to the territory of Zebulun and Naphtali. If you remember your history, okay, when the Jewish people came to the Promised Land, they didn't take a direct route. Instead, they came around and they came in through the north. Before they came into the Promised Land, they all camped on the far side of the Jordan. And some of the Hebrew people said, well, what's wrong with this territory? Why can't we just settle down here? And so God granted them that territory, okay, which became, I mean, that was Zebulun and Naphtali. It was territory on the other side of the Jordan. It really wasn't part of Canaan. And so even though it became, you know, part of Israel, they were part of the people of God, in some people's minds, It was just so far. It was so far out of the way. It was way out there. What we see here is that not only does Jesus withdraw to Galilee, but he goes way off to the other end of Galilee, way out there to Zebulun and Naphtali. And Matthew tells us that when Jesus did that, that was the fulfillment of a great Old Testament promise. Okay? Remember, Matthew loves to show us how all these different Old Testament promises and prophecies find their fulfillment in Jesus. Matthew says when Jesus went off way off the beaten path, way back there, that was the fulfillment of that great promise in Isaiah, which we already read this morning. So if you want to, you can turn back to the passage we read this morning, or it's actually quoted here in our passage from Isaiah 9. There will be no gloom for her who was in anguish. In the former time, he brought into contempt the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the latter time, he has made glorious the way of the sea, the land beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the nations. You see that? Isaiah calls it Galilee of the nations. That is, it was almost thought of as part of the world. It was almost not even thought of as part of Israel. It was so far out there. It was thought of as part of the dark world. And it was considered a dark place. He talks about a place of gloom, a place of anguish, a place of contempt. I mean, this was just considered a very backwards place. This was a place that was considered 50 years behind the times. It was way off from the cities, from the schools, from the centers of culture and education, way, way far from the temple, from everything else that's going on. It was a place of very basic living, small town, not a lot of opportunities, not a lot happening, not a lot of hope. It was a place of a lot of sickness, a lot of illness, just a lot of problems. It was considered a dark land. And yet Isaiah promised that one day the people who walked in darkness would see a great light. Those who dwell in a land of deep darkness, on them light would shine. Matthew says that when Jesus went to live out by the Sea of Galilee in the town of Capernaum, Jesus was bringing light to that dark land. That Jesus is the fulfillment of this promise of Isaiah. He was bringing light and hope and wisdom and truth to a people who had been living in darkness. Again, our passage in Matthew, verse 17 says, "From that time, Jesus began to preach, saying, 'Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" Repent? That's the message of John the Baptist. Okay? That's the message John the Baptist has been sharing. He's the one saying, get ready and get right with God. He's the one who's been saying, the kingdom of heaven is almost here. If you remember, John the Baptist had been preaching in the wilderness of Judea, down in the south, and people from Jerusalem and all the regions of Judea had been going out to John. All the people had been going out to hear the message of John and be baptized by him. But that message didn't get all the way to the far end of Galilee. Okay, those people are out of the loop. And John the Baptist can't take his message way up there because he's locked up. And so Jesus, by going way off there to Naphtali, to Zebulun, to the Sea of Galilee, he's taking the message of John the Baptist into that dark land. He's bringing light into the darkness. Okay? Jesus came to bring wisdom and knowledge and truth and understanding. He came to bring hope and comfort and new life and promise. Jesus came to bring light into that darkness and into your darkness. Perhaps you feel at times that you can't see what God is doing. I can't understand why these things are happening to me, or I don't understand what God is doing in the world. Scripture is replete with promises. In thy light, O Lord, shall we see light. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has shined upon you. Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to bring you wisdom and understanding and knowledge and encouragement and grace and hope. He came to bring light into the darkness. And Jesus calls you to follow that light. Verse 18 says, "While walking by the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers." So Jesus is gone, and this is far away from Jerusalem. This is far away from the areas that we normally think of. Way off in Galilee, way off the other end of Galilee. He's walking along the shore, and he sees two brothers, Simon, okay, who's called Peter, and Andrew, his brother. So Jesus sees Peter and Andrew, and they are fishermen. It says they are casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. This is not recreational fishing. This is not two buddies going down the shore to have a day off. These are men who would have been fishermen as a way of life. It was probably what they had learned from their father. It's probably what their father had learned from his father. It was a difficult way to make a living. Very physical, very strenuous. We know from other accounts, sometimes they would be out all day or all night fishing. You're casting out nets. You're hoping to gather in enough fish to hopefully feed your family and maybe be able to sell enough at the market to, you know, for bread and for shoes and other basics for your family. It's a very hard living. Very simple, very basic, but very difficult way of life. You can't control the weather. You can't control the fish. I mean, it was a very difficult way of life. Jesus is walking down the shore. He sees these two brothers fishing, and he says, "Come follow me. Come." And he says, "And I'll make you fishers of men." Okay, you guys are trying to catch fish. Okay, I'm going to teach you a whole different trade. I'm going to teach you a whole different occupation, a whole new calling. I'm going to teach you to gather men to yourself. I'm going to teach you to win souls. Okay? Jesus calls you to a whole new lifestyle. Jesus doesn't necessarily call you to a new job. I mean, that was true of Andrew and Peter. He doesn't necessarily call you to drop your job and take up a new profession, but he does call you to a new lifestyle. The teaching of Jesus Christ is not just one more thing you add to your education. Well, I've studied spelling and history and math, and now I've learned a little about Jesus. No, the truth of Jesus Christ is life-changing. It's all-encompassing. It's life-transforming. So that when Jesus calls you, he calls you to a whole new way of life, a whole new lifestyle. Jesus is the light, and he calls you into the light, to step out into the light, to bathe yourself in the light, to walk in that light, to be transformed in your thinking, how you think about yourself, how you look at the world, how you feel about life, what matters to you. The truth of Jesus is completely life-changing. He calls you to a whole new lifestyle, and you have to be willing to leave the ways of the world behind to follow Jesus. Jesus sees Peter and Andrew casting a net into the sea. He says to them, "Follow me. I'll make you fishers of men." And immediately, they left their nets and followed him. Now think about that. We don't know if Andrew and Peter already knew who Jesus was. It's a small town, and he's moved to Capernaum, and he's been preaching. So perhaps they've already know who he is. Perhaps they've heard his message. But whatever the case is, they are probably, as fishermen, they are probably living the only life they've ever known. Okay. They've probably never left that town of Capernaum. In that time, that world, most people never traveled more than a few miles in any direction their entire life. Okay? They were probably doing all that their family had ever known for generations. And Jesus says, come. Leave that. I'm going to teach you something different. It's a complete change of lifestyle. And yet we're told here, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Again, Jesus doesn't call everyone to be a preacher or a missionary, okay? But everyone is called to obey God's word. Everyone is called to follow God's word, to believe God's word, and to spread God's word. I mean, imagine if you were Peter or you're Andrew, and this is all the world you've ever known. Jesus says, "Come and follow me," and you have no idea what that really means. There's no way they could have possibly imagined what that was going to entail. All the places Jesus would take them, all the things they would see, the miracles, okay, the joys, the heartbreaks. There's no way of knowing. Jesus does not sit down with you and negotiate with you and say, "Well, here's everything it's going to involve, and you make your decision." Jesus says, come. And you're either in or out. Come, he says. Come. And you've got to be willing to leave the ways of the world behind. You've got to be willing to change. Again, it doesn't necessarily mean you have to move. It doesn't necessarily mean you have to change your jobs like Andrew and Peter did. But you have to be willing to grow. You have to be willing to change. After all, the message is repent. Okay, turn around. Get ready and get right with God. You've got to be willing to leave the ways of the world behind. And regardless of where God has called you or what line of work you might be in, everyone is called to obey God's word and to follow God's word, to believe God's word, and to spread God's word. We're not all called to necessarily exactly like Peter, for example, who later would go on to be an apostle, but we all called to be fishers of men in a certain way. God sends us out to spread the light. If you remember, a number of months ago, we had an insert in the bulletin where I encourage you to think about your spheres of influence. Who are the people that God has brought into your life? You know, who are the people around you? And particularly thinking of those on the fringe, those people that you don't think about much, those people you kind of take advantage or take for granted, you know, kind of like those people way off in Galilee. Who are those people who are on the fringes of your life? And I encourage you to think of these people. They are your ministry. They are your mission field. Yes, sometimes we have special ministries to go into new places and do new things, but we need to begin with the people that God has already put in your life. And we need to be intentional about praying for those people. And I encourage you again to take this or another sheet of paper and ask yourself, what are some concrete ways, simple, practical ways I can show the love of Jesus to these different people in my life? Maybe something as simple as hello, introducing yourself, taking the time to talk, taking the time to listen. Maybe it's having someone over or sending a card or just a kind gesture. But thinking of practical ways that you can show the love of Jesus and practical ways you can tell them about the love of Jesus. Maybe you can invite them to worship. Maybe they're not ready for that, but maybe you can build a relationship with them, or maybe you can share with them something you've been reading, or tell them how the Lord has been answering your prayers. God has called you to be a fisher of men, to spread the light, the good news of God's grace. And so you need to be deliberate and intentional in thinking about, all right, how does God want me to be shedding his grace, his mercy, his truth, his compassion, his justice into the lives of the people that around me? What we see this morning is that we're encouraged to go out as fishers of men because Jesus gathers his people to himself. I mean, when Jesus is walking down the shore and he sees these two brothers and he says, come follow me, and they come, that's pretty extraordinary. But what we see next is even more extraordinary. It says, going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets, and he called them. Immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. So first, Jesus sees two brothers, Simon and Andrew. He calls them to come and they come. Then Jesus sees two other brothers, James and John. That's not unusual. This is a small town where everybody knows everybody and nobody moves away. And of course, yes, you carry on the family business. That's not unusual to see brothers working together in the family business with their father. What's extraordinary is that even though they are working there with their father, when Jesus says come, they come. You know, it's one thing to leave behind the family business when dad isn't around. But they're in the boat with old man Zebedee. Jesus says, come. And they leave the nets and they get out of the boats and they come. Okay? That's extraordinary. But it shows us that Jesus gathers his people to himself. Jesus is the great fisher of men. I mean, if he's going to teach you to be a fisher of men, it's because he is the great fisher of men. It's because he is able to gather people to himself. It's not a coincidence that he sees Peter and Andrew and says, come, and they come. And then he sees James and John and says, come, and they come. It's not a coincidence. Jesus gathers his people to himself. Some people are uncomfortable with that idea, because they're afraid that means that Jesus is exclusive. As if Jesus doesn't care about everybody. He only cares about his people. Some people are afraid about that idea, as if somehow Jesus is leaving some people out. Jesus sincerely calls all people to himself. Jesus sincerely calls all people to himself. And that's one reason why we have to go out. And he sends us out. Remember, he's gathering Peter and Andrew and James and John, and then he's going to send them out. He sends us out to sincerely offer the light, to bring the light to anyone and everyone. Jesus sincerely calls all people to himself. And it doesn't matter who they are. John the Baptist goes to King. He goes to King Herod. Jesus goes far off to the darkest, farthest end of Galilee. No one is too big or too small or too important or too unimportant or too rich or too poor. Jesus is the light of the world, and he came to bring light even into the darkest nooks and crannies. That's why he goes to the far end of Galilee, to bring the light even there. Okay? Nobody is too small or unimportant. Instead, even the nobodies become somebody in the kingdom of God. I mean, that's what you'd have to say. These men were nobodies, okay? They were fishermen. They were just doing what their dads had done and their father, their grandfathers and so on. And they probably would have spent their whole life in that little town doing the same thing if it wasn't for Jesus. And yet Jesus calls them, and we know what ends up happening. These men become the great apostles of the church. Okay? They become greatly used by God. Nobodies become somebodies in the kingdom of God. And somebodies become nobodies. You know, King Herod was a somebody. And who cares about King Herod these days? Okay? He didn't listen. He rejected the truth. Okay? Somebodies often become nobodies. But nobodies become somebodies. Nobody's too small or too dirty or too sinful or too ignorant or too unimportant or too poor. Jesus sincerely calls all people to himself. He brings the truth, and he calls you to embrace the truth, accept the truth, believe the truth, walk in the truth. And he savingly calls all kinds of people to himself. Jesus sincerely offers the truth to all. He calls everyone to come. But left to ourselves, none of us would respond. Certainly I wouldn't. I mean, left to myself, I'm not going to suddenly decide that, you know what, I think I will change. I think I will repent. I think I'll surrender my life entirely in the hands of Jesus. Left to ourselves, we wouldn't do that. We read this morning, man loves the darkness. I don't want to be honest about myself and who I am and my radical need for forgiveness and my dependence upon God. We love the darkness. And left to ourselves, we flee the light. The Apostle Paul tells us that God, who said, "Let light shine in the darkness," has caused the light of the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ to shine in your hearts. That's God's grace that God does that. That's our encouragement as we go out and we continue to pray for people. You know, many of you have loved ones that you've been praying for years, and you don't stop praying. And you don't stop loving and caring and trying to be a faithful witness before them and setting a good example, because this is our hope that Jesus uses these things to bring light into dark hearts, to bring real life and hope and change. And what do we see is even as you look at the disciples that Jesus gathers to himself, fishermen, tax collectors, the timid, the impetuous, Jesus savingly calls all kinds of people to himself, all different backgrounds and personalities and histories and races and ethnic. And so that's our hope as we go out into the world. Jesus brings light. He brings truth. He brings understanding. And he calls you to walk in the light. He calls you to step out into the light. To come clean into the light. And it's possible, well, Matthew explains it later, that even though Jesus withdrew for the season, as we said, it wasn't out of fear. He withdrew to take the light to this distant, far end of Galilee, but it wasn't out of fear, because when the time came, Jesus did come and made public appearance. And during the Passover, he came to Jerusalem, And he did appear in the temple, and he taught and preached openly until, like John the Baptist, Jesus was arrested, and he was falsely accused. And according to Roman custom, he was nailed to a cross, and he was lifted up on the cross. He was crucified. And Matthew will tell us when we get there, in the middle of the day, as Jesus hung on the cross, the day grew dark. You know, in the middle of the day like this, and suddenly it grew dark because the judgment of God was falling on Jesus in our place. As we sang earlier, light of the world, by darkness slain. And there Jesus takes our guilt, he takes our sin, he takes the darkness of our world, and he takes that in our place, that God the Father might shine on you. He takes our guilt and our sin that our sin is paid for. Then he rose again in glory that we might be forgiven, that you might know that you are accepted before God, that you are cleansed, that you are pure, that you are embraced, you are received as a child of God, as a child of the light. Paul says God rescues us from the dominion of darkness and brings us into the kingdom of light. Jesus says you are the light of the world. Let your light shine. Jesus has taken the guilt of our darkness and sin so that God might shine with favor on you. That whatever you might be experiencing, it may seem dark. We can still speak of dark days and dark times. There's times in life we don't understand, and yet God shines on you. Whatever you might be feeling, God shines on you. He smiles. The light of his countenance is upon you. We have the light of his word. Last week, we do this every year. At the beginning of the year, we gave out Bible reading schedules for those of you who want something to help you work your way through the Bible during the year. Or if you want to go online, on our website, we have one. And you can set it for 1 year, or 2 years, or 3 years. Because the opening of God's word gives light. God wants you to walk in the light. Be renewed. Be changed by the light. It changes the way you think. It changes your attitude. It changes the way you feel about yourself and the way you think of other people. Jesus calls you to walk in the light, to follow the light, and spread the light, and bring others to the light. Jesus is the light of the world. He calls you now to step out by faith. Walk in the light. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, we marvel that you would willingly leave the glories of heaven. You who dwell in inapproachable light and come and walk this dark world in our footsteps and suffer on the cross to bring us light. We marvel and we bless you. And we thank you, Lord, for the blessing that you bring, that you smile on us in Jesus. Grant us, Lord, the gift of repentance, that we might turn away from the dark, from deeds of darkness, from things that just aren't fitting and appropriate, sinfulness and selfishness, and help us to turn away from the deeds of the darkness and turn to the light of your countenance, knowing that when we walk in the light, you who are light, you forgive us with the blood of Jesus. Lord, may we know that we live as those who know the smile of God. May we walk in your light today. May the light of your word shine on us, enlighten even the recesses of our heart, expose the blind spots in our thinking, Lord. Illumine your word to us. Open up to us the eyes of our heart. Help us to see the face of Jesus in all your glory and wonder and splendor. Shine on us, Lord, and shine through us into the world around us, and those who are despairing, and those who are lost, those who are confused, those who are alone. Shine on them, Lord. Use us. Use our ministry. Hear our prayers. Make effective our smallest little deeds, the little that we can do, to bring light, more light in the world. We pray for this. We ask this, Father, in the wonderful name, the saving name of Jesus. Amen.
This is Pastor Claude Taylor. We're glad you've just heard the broadcast of the weekly Sunday morning worship service of New Hope Presbyterian Church. New Hope Church is a Christ-centered, Bible-based church ministry where everyone is welcome. I invite you to join us in person for worship each Sunday at 10 a.m., followed by Sunday school for all ages. The church is located at the corner of Hitchener Avenue and Osborne Lane, in the neighborhood across from Bridgeton High School. If you need more information or wish to speak to me personally, please call 856-451-7644. That's 856-451-7644. This broadcast is a production of New Hope Presbyterian Church, a member of the Orthodox Presbyterian family of churches.